नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 द बिगिनिंग चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट नंबर 1। This chapter is entitled Pure Devotional Service Surpasses Knowledge and Detachment. Shri Uddhava Uvacha Vidhischa Pratishedhascha Nigamo Hishwarasyate Avekshate Ravindaksha गुणं दोषं च कर्मणाम्। श्री उद्धव उवाच विधिश्च प्रतिषेधश्च निगमो हीश्वरस्य ते अवेक्षते रविन्दाक्ष गुणं दोषं च कर्मणाम्। श्री उद्धव उवाच विधिश्च प्रतिषेधश्च निगमो हीश्वरस्य ते अवेक्षते रविन्दाक्ष गुणं दोषं च कर्मणाम्। अवेक्षते रविन्दाक्ष गुणं दोषं च कर्मणाम्। श्री उद्धव उवाच विधिश्च प्रतिषेधश्च निगमो हीश्वरस्य ते अवेक्षते रविन्दाक्ष गुणं दोषं। श्री उद्धव उवाच निगमो हीश्वरस्य ते अवेक्षते रविन्दाक्ष गुणं दोषं च कर्मणाम्। मताजी श्री उद्धव उवाच निगमो हीश्वरस्य ते अवेक्षते रविन्दाक्ष गुणं दोषं च कर्मणाम्।
श्री उद्धव उवाच। श्री उद्धव सेड विधि पॉजिटिव इंजंक्शन च ऑल्सो प्रतिषेध प्रोहिबिटिव इंजंक्शन च एंड निगमः द वेदिक लिटरेचर ही इंडीड ईश्वरस्य ऑफ द लॉर्ड ते ऑफ यू अवेक्षते फोकसेस अपॉन अरविंदाक्ष ओ लोटस आइड वन गुणम गुड और पायस क्वालिटीज दोषम बैड और सिनफुल क्वालिटीज च ऑल्सो कर्मणाम ऑफ एक्टिविटीज। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिसाइपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्री उद्धव सेड माय डियर लोटस आइड कृष्णा You are the Supreme Lord, and thus the Vedic literatures consisting of positive and negative instructions, negative injunctions, constitute your order. Such literatures focus upon the good and bad qualities of work. Purport. At the end of the previous chapter, Lord Krishna stated, Guna dosha drishir dosho gunastubhaya varjitaha. Focusing upon material piety and sin is itself a discrepancy, since actual piety means to transcend both of them. Sri Uddhava now pursues this point so that Lord Krishna will give a more elaborate explanation of this difficult subject matter. Sri Uddhava here states that the Vedic literatures, which constitute the laws of God, deal with piety and sin. Therefore, it must be clarified how one transcends activities recommended in the Vedas. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Uddhava suddenly understood Lord Krishna's purpose in the words he had just spoken. And to induce the Lord to elaborate upon the interesting point, Uddhava outwardly challenged the Lord's statement. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing the section of Uddhava Gita. Here an interesting point Uddhava is wanting to clarify from Krishna, because Krishna raised this point in the earlier chapter, that both piety and sin, both are ultimately bad, and one has to get over them, transcend them. So usually we think, most people think that sin is bad, because sin will give you negative reaction. This is the general understanding religious people have. Sin is bad and piety is good. Sin is bad because if you do sinful action now, then you will have to suffer immediately or sometime later, either in this life or in the next life. But suffering is going to come. And piety means if you do some good actions now, you will get to enjoy something in the future, either in this life or in the next life. So piety is good, sin is bad. Of course, nowadays we find there is no clear distinction between piety and sin. In Kali Yuga, everything becomes opposite. Sin is encouraged and piety is discouraged. Krishna says in the Gita, Adharmam dharmamitiya. Manyate tamasavarta. Sarvarthan viparitamscha buddhi sa partha tamasi. What is adharma is considered to be dharma, and what is dharma is taken as adharma. That's the unfortunate condition of people in this age. But anyway, traditionally, the general understanding among most pious or religious people is you do good, you get good. You do something bad, you will suffer in the future. But Krishna here is saying in the earlier chapter towards the end, which Uddhava is raising the point now, He is saying both good and bad are ultimately bad. And one has to transcend and get over this understanding that good is good and bad is bad. Both are ultimately bad. In the immediate state, good may appear to be good and bad may appear to be bad. But in the ultimate equation calculation, both are bad. A similar verse appears in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya says, Dvaite bhadra bhadra gyan sabha mano dharma ei bhala ei manda ei sabha brahma. It's a nice description. Dvaite bhadra abhadra gyan. What is bhadra, what is abhadra? What is good, what is bad? Sabha mano dharma. It's all based on your mental calculation, mental analysis. For me, something may be good, this may be bad. For some other people, what I find good could be bad, and what I find bad could be good. So what is ultimately good and bad? Either individually, collectively, group-wise, nation-wise, community-wise, everyone has their own definitions of what is good and what is bad. We are interested in what is ultimately good for everyone. What is good for human beings may be bad for the animals. What is bad for humans could be good for animals. Or other, so many other living entities are there. So whenever we calculate good and bad, the calculation should be based on what is beneficial for all living entities. Not just a certain individual group of people or classes of people. So according to Lord Chaitanya, usually people calculate good and bad based on their own mental analysis. And it is not the ultimate calculation. Therefore all are manodharma. And to think, this is good, this is bad, ei bhala, ei manda, ei sabha brahma, this is all useless. This is all illusion. So Prabhupada writes in that purport, he says, Krishna is the absolute truth, ever existing with different varieties of energies. When one is absorbed in the illusory energy of Krishna and cannot understand Krishna, one cannot ascertain what is good for him and what is bad. Conceptions of good and bad are all imaginations or mental speculations. When one forgets that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, he wants to enjoy the material world through different plans. At that time, he distinguishes between material plans that are good and those that are bad. Actually, however, they are all false. So only when we forget that we are servants of Krishna, we are part and parcel of Krishna, then we get into this calculation of this is good, this is bad. Because whatever facilitates my sense gratification is good for me. Whatever hampers my sense gratification is bad for me. But those same things could be good and bad for someone else. Therefore it is all illusion. It is all false, all imagination. So therefore in the Gita you find, Krishna says in the second chapter, Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschita. Most people want to do piety for material enjoyment. And their whole understanding of life is meant for enjoyment. And all the scriptures, books and religious texts are ultimately directing anyone to enjoy better life. That is the whole purpose of scripture. That is the whole purpose of life. How to enjoy, how to be prosperous. That is the whole purpose. Therefore Krishna says, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayapahrtetasam. One who is absorbed in bhoga and aishwarya, wealth and enjoyment, such people cannot have focused determination to achieve something spiritual. So in one article, Chaitanya Charitamrita writes about purity and piety. He says, purity is like if a person leads a relatively pious life. That is piety. Relatively pious life means you follow the religious injunctions and avoid sinful actions. That is piety we understand. But what is purity? Purity means pure, unalloyed, selfless desire to serve Krishna. Like we have Lord Chaitanya's prayer. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va, jagadisha kamai. No material aspirations, no wealth, no followers, only ahaituki apratihata. Yayatma suprasidati. Even I am ready to come back life after life in this material world, as long as it helps me, it allows me to serve you, O Krishna. So that is purity. Real, absolute purity. But piety is when you relatively stay away from sinful actions. But piety also is materially motivated. Because the whole desire is, I want to stay happy. I want to enjoy. That's the driving force behind performing pious actions. So spirituality doesn't encourage simply to lead pious life. In spirituality, we need to know that I am spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna. I am not this body. As soon as we understand that I am not this body, which means sense gratification is the goal of life. And anything that appears to be good for the body or bad for the body is not in the ultimate end the best way of calculating things. So piety doesn't necessarily mean a person is spiritual. A person may be pious. There are so many pious people in this world, but not everyone is favorably disposed towards spiritual life. In fact, many times, the so-called pious people are the ones who create the maximum obstructions for propagating Krishna consciousness movement or any religious spiritual movement. So piety doesn't necessarily translate into devotional qualifications. Therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moham nirmukta bhajante mamdrida vrata. Unless one is thoroughly purified of even pious reactions, purified of even piety, such people eventually take to devotional life. Yesham tvanda, te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante. Dvandva moha nirmukta. They get rid of these dualities. Dvaite bhadra bhadra jnana. And bhajante maam dridha vrata. Such people can resolutely, with determination, take to devotional life. Can worship Krishna. So therefore, piety is not exactly spiritual, and we need to get out of this understanding that simply by following pious life, I may achieve Krishna. There are so many verses in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures that says, you may do austerities, you may do tapasya, you may do charity, lot of charity, you may lead a pious life, but not necessarily you can purchase Krishna by the accumulated pious credits. So real test, whether a person is spiritual or not, devotee or not, comes at the time of calamities, when a person undergoes difficulties and calamities. There was one nice article that Hari Parshad Prabhu wrote in the Back to Godhead magazine about this nature. It's a Subhashita verse that says, Sakshara viparitaschet Rakshasa eva kevalam. Saraso viparitaschet Sarasatvam namunchati. Very nice poetic verse. Amidst reversals, people with only mundane education, Sakshara, Sa Akshara, one who is educated in Akshara or literate, change into demons. Rakshasa eva kevalam. But people who relish bhakti rasa, saraso viparitaschet. When people who relish bhakti rasa viparitaschet, when they face reversals in life, sarasatvam namunchati. They don't give up their character or knowledge. So this is nice way of explaining this point. Sakshara Rakshasa, it's like reversal. Reversal can mean reversals in life, difficulties or calamities in life. Or reversal, simple meaning of reversal is you reverse the words, reverse the akshara, letters. Like you have, what you call, palindromes, right? You, noon, or English words we have, noon, civic. When you reverse it, it's the same. It doesn't change the meaning. Similarly, in here we have, so viparita, when you do viparita of sakshara, an educated person who has simply bookish knowledge, who has simply got college education, but no transformational knowledge, the knowledge has not transformed his character. Such people, when they face reversals in life, then they turn into rakshasas. Their knowledge all doesn't come into action. And the best example we have is Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa. Hiranyakashipu, we read in the 7th canto how he is talking big philosophy to his mother-in-law, sister-in-law after the death of Hiranyaksha, his brother. He is aware of all scriptural knowledge, the most literate person. But when he faces calamity, when he is facing threat, then he wants to forget everything and he wants to kill Vishnu. So he is speaking the deepest philosophy about the soul and the immortality of the soul and how everything is temporary in this material world. Everyone has to go through all these calamities. It's all illusion. There is no point in lamentation. This is what the standard philosophy we read in the Bhagavatam. But Hiranyakashipu turned out to be the biggest demon, in spite of all this knowledge. So Sakshara became Rakshasa. He was a Rakshasa all the time. But Saraso Viparitaschet, people who are actually really educated and who understand the value of knowledge, whose accumulation of knowledge has created transformation in their heart, Sarasattvam Namunchati. And these people, in spite of all reversals in their life, in spite of all calamities in their life, they don't give up their character. And we see this in the examples of so many great devotees of the Lord. Prahlad, in the same family of Hiranyakashipu, you find going through so many calamities, but he never gave up his staunch faith and devotion to Krishna, his determination to serve Krishna. He had all the excuse to not worship Krishna. All he had to do was agree to Hiranyakashipu's supremacy, agree to his philosophy, and just stop worshipping Krishna. His life would have been the most comfortable in the universe. He would have inherited the entire property of Hiranyakashipu, and he would have become the king of the universe. And he had rulership over the heavenly planets, everything. But opposing everything, he continued with his devotion to Krishna and went through so many calamities. And so he maintained his character. That is real transformational knowledge. What he heard from Narada actually created transformation in his heart. And we see the examples of Pandavas, Kunti, Draupadi, everyone going through so many calamities but never giving up their devotion to Krishna. Therefore, we find in the Bhagavatam this verse, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatya Kinchana Sarvair Gunais Tatra Samasate Sura. One who has bhakti towards Krishna, such a person develops all good qualities. He is a real sarasa. He is not just a sakshar, one who has accumulated simply technical knowledge. And sarvai gunais tatra samas harava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna. One who is not a hari bhakta, harava abhaktasya kuto mahatguna. What good qualities can such a person have? He may have all book knowledge, but real character has not developed. And mano rathe nasati dhavato bahi. Such a person simply keeps hovering on the mental platform and trying to determine this is good, this is bad. Such a person can never arrive at a definite analysis, definite conclusion of what is absolute good and what is absolute bad. So therefore we want to become sarasa, real accumulators of knowledge, not just Sakshara. So whenever we also study scriptures, we also study Bhagavatam and so many other literatures, we study Prabhupada's books. But ultimately we need to make sure that such knowledge is creating positive transformation in our character. On one hand, the Bhagavatam says simply by having devotion to Krishna, your good qualities will develop. But if they don't develop, we need to put effort. We need to at least be conscious of the fact that these are the anarthas within our heart and I need to work on them. I need to strive to eliminate these anarthas from the heart. In this way, our knowledge and character should go on simultaneously. Otherwise, simply having knowledge and without character, people will... it's not a best advertisement for the Krishna consciousness movement. We need to preach by example, preach by practice. In another place, he talks about gems and lamps. Those are nice verse. It says, the difference between ordinary people and great people remains unknown till adversities come upon them. Just as the difference between the glimmer of a lamp and a gem remains unknown until there is a storm. So both lamps and gems give out light. We may not be familiar with gems that give out light continuously. But it is said there are gems, especially in the lower planets. The snakes there have gems studded on them and they give out light. Sun's light is not much available there, but these gems emit light and that's how they illuminate the entire planet. So gems are there that give out light. And there is a lamp with a flame that is emitting light. What is the difference between the two lights? When there is a wind blowing, storm blowing, the lamp will get extinguished. Whereas the gems will continue to emit light. So it says, No shakyo eva parihritya dridham pariksham, jnatum mitasya mahatashchana rasya bheda. Mahatashchana cha na rasya bheda. The difference between mahata and ordinary nara, human being, is this. Ko nama tivra pavanagama mantarena bhedena veti shikhi deepa mani pradipau. So when a calamity strikes an ordinary person, such a person will give up his character. Calamity can mean a calamity, a reversal in life, or some temptation in life. The threat of death or an allurement of temptation. Both these situations generally destabilize a person's character. So in the Gita also Krishna says, Yatha deepo nivatastho nengate sopamasmrta. A lamp is there and a steady lamp is like the character of a good person. For an uncontrolled yogi whose mind and senses are uncontrolled, this flame of the lamp will continuously keep moving unsteadily. So similarly, the flame of the lamp is compared to our consciousness, which keeps changing, which always remains unsteady due to temptations, due to threats, due to some calamities in life. But a gem emits light continuously, no matter what the storm is, what the calamity is. So in this way, we want to be such gems where in spite of all the temptations, in spite of all the threats, no matter what the situation is, external world situation is, if we can remain loyal to our vows, loyal to our convictions, loyal to our parampara teachings, and then we shine forth like a true gem and not get extinguished by any storm, any calamity. So in this way, these verses illuminate how we need to be controlled in our mind and senses, not get wavered by temptations and difficulties. In another verse, he talks about how one should deal with wealth. He talks about three kinds of wealth. Utpadita swayamiyam yaditattanuja. Tate nava yadi tada bhagini khalushri. यद्यन्य संगमवती चतदापरस्त्री तत्याग बद्ध मनस सुधियो भवंती. सो इट टॉक्स अबाउट थ्री काइंड्स ऑफ वेल्थ. वेल्थ जनरेटेड बाय वन सेल्फ इज लाइक वन ओन डॉटर. वेल्थ प्रोवाइडेड बाय वन फादर इज लाइक अ सिस्टर. वेल्थ कमिंग फ्रॉम अदर एजेंसीज लाइक लोन्स डोनेशन एक्सेट्रा इज लाइक अनदर मैन्स वाइफ. सिंस नीदर वन डॉटर नॉर वन सिस्टर नॉर समवन एल्सेस वाइफ आर मेंट टू बी एंजॉयड, देयरफॉर इंटेलिजेंट पीपल आर डेडिकेटेड टू रिनाउंसिंग ऑल टाइप्स ऑफ वेल्थ. तत्याग बद्ध मनस सुधियो भवंती. ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ वेल्थ आर वर्थ रिनाउंसिंग. सो दिस इज अ वर्स एट्रिब्यूटेड टू भर्तृहरि. भर्तृहरि वन ऑफ दोस ऑथर्स हू रोट वैराग्य शतक, बट नॉट एग्जैक्टली फ्रॉम दैट कलेक्शन. सो वी नो फ्रॉम शास्त्रस टॉक अबाउट धर्म अर्थ काम मोक्ष, राइट? ऑल फोर आर वर्थ पर्स्यूइंग. In fact, a person of Vedic culture is supposed to pursue all four. Dharma. Dharma should lead to artha. Artha or artha means here prosperity of life. Artha will facilitate kama. Kama is regulated religious sense gratification. It's not exactly indulgence. Proper regulated whatever is essential for the body. That kind of sense gratification. And eventually after performing dharma, artha, kama for a long time, one towards the end of life, one starts pursuing and aiming towards moksha. Getting release from the cycle of birth and death, getting rid of all obligations, social obligations, family obligations, and one focuses on moksha. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha is a standard encouragement in the Vedic scriptures. But most people, especially in today's times, ignore dharma and ignore moksha. Only they focus on the middle two, dharma and kama. Disproportionate accumulation of wealth and reckless sense gratification, reckless kama. So that both are dangerous. But here this verse is talking about, so Krishna also says, like the verse we quoted recently just now, bhoga ishvarya prasaktanam. Bhoga and Aishwarya, one who is obsessed with these two, can never have focused determination on moksha or the higher goals of life, higher realities of life. So therefore, this verse is talking about wealth, is personifying wealth as a female, as a woman, as a daughter, sister and wife, another man's wife. So when we try to accumulate wife through irregular means, non-religious means, then that kind of wealth will cause one's downfall. It can bring about the ruination of a person's life. Therefore, wealth should be protected. Just like a woman has to supposed to be protected in her childhood, in her youth, in her old age, a woman is protected by parents, by husband and by grown-up son. Similarly, wealth has to be protected and used in Krishna's service. Such wealth is not dangerous. It can bring about real prosperity. Therefore, in the Ramayana, we find Hanuman's example. Ravana was the one who captured Sita. Sita is like Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. Abducted Sita and took away to Lanka. And Hanuman is a person, devotee, who is trying to bring together Sita and Ram, bringing Lakshmi and Narayan together. So using Lakshmi in Narayan service, that is the mood of a devotee. And that is the endeavor of a devotee. Somehow accumulating as much money as possible and using everything in Krishna's service. Such attitude is encouraged. And the moment we separate Lakshmi from Narayan, Sita from Ram, then that will bring about the ruination. So using artha for pursuing paramartha, that should be our mood. In this way, we understand how a devotee is always consciously unconsciously, the mood is how to facilitate my service to Krishna. So externally we may find devotees pursuing dharma, artha, kama, moksha like any other materialist, working hard like ordinary persons, and earning money like ordinary people, accumulating money like ordinary people. But what is the mood? What is the attitude of a person? That's what decides whether such a person is a devotee or a karmi or a non-devotee. Another Subhashita continues on this theme where he says, the attitude of a miser. Okay, this is the verse. Kripanasvas vadhu sargam na karoti bhayadiha. Bhavata yadi me putra same vittam harediti. So this is how a miser thinks. If a son is born to me, he will grow up to squander all wealth. Fearing thus, the miser refuses to unite with his wife because he doesn't want a child. Because if a child is born, that child is going to waste all my money. So this kind of renunciation is like in Rupa Goswami's terms, it's Falgu Vairagya or useless renunciation. Just like we may find people indulging in fasting, right? Today is fasting day, our Niruchal Ekadashi. But other times people indulge in fasting. Fasting for health purposes, to cut down their excess fat, to achieve some political goal. For so many other purposes, people undergo fasting once in a week, once in a month in a year. People undergo different kinds of fasting. So this, like our Kulashekar also says, your ratas and fastings are all useless if it doesn't please Vishnu. Medhas cheda phalani purta vidhaya sarvam hutam bhasmani. If you're fasting, if you're fasting and vratas and all these charities, everything, it doesn't evoke attraction towards Krishna, then your fasting is simply cutting down excess fat. Ultimately, it's a waste of time, he says. So, devotees fast in order to spend more time to doing devotional activities, to remembering Krishna. But otherwise, all these activities are useless, according to Kulashekhar. So here he says, so either fasting or in this case, this miser is renouncing sexual pleasures. For what reason? To avoid the problems arising from a bad son or bad children. This is a common growing phenomenon nowadays we find in this world. People... not getting into family life. Either because children usually born, especially in rich families, they waste all their money, all the hard-earned wealth of the parents. Or even education. Educating a child is like a big expense. More children mean more expenses. So better stick to as less as possible. Either one or maximum two. That's the general attitude because lakhs of rupees are spent simply in education. And 15, 16 years, 20 years, you have to educate a child means you spend an entire fortune on the child's education. And later if the child turns out to be a wreck, that's a whole waste of endeavor. Right? So education costs a lot, therefore people don't want children. Or even when they get into teens, turbulent teens as they call, then it creates such a headache for the parents. They get into addictions, drugs and smoking and alcohol. Another headache. Or even if they say, it's a normal child. Eventually when they grow old, when the parents grow old, there's no guarantee that the child will take care of the parents. The son is abroad working hard and maintaining his family. The parents are here alone. So what's the whole purpose behind raising children? For these reasons, people want to avoid getting into family life. But of course, this is not renunciation. We understand this is not real renunciation. In today's time, people want to enjoy, but without taking responsibilities. That is another perversion of Kali Yuga. But anyway, in this point, in this Subhashita, the author is trying to say that material renunciation, externally staying away from sense objects, it doesn't necessarily mean a person is spiritually advanced. What you renounce is not the point of consideration. Why we renounce what we renounce, and for what cause we renounce certain things, and that should be the method or factor to evaluate whether a person is materially renounced. In the scriptures we find the example of Saubari Muni. Such a yogi who stayed away from all sense objects, went underwater, the Yamuna river, and did intense tapasya. But because he saw two fishes mating, his senses lost control, and later he indulged. So, external renunciation, Prabhupada gives the example of monkeys. Monkeys also roaming around naked. That doesn't necessarily mean they are renounced. They are running after sexual pleasures. So we don't want like a monkey, Markata Vairagya or Smashan Vairagya. These kind of Vairagyas are temporary. As soon as we find any alluring object, any temptation in front of us, all these philosophy of Vairagya will collapse and a person will indulge. So when we have a higher motivation, a higher missionary spirit, a higher taste, like Krishna says in the Gita, Param Drishtva Nivartate. Only when there is a higher taste, one can easily give up the lower taste. Prabhupada used to talk about cultivating a missionary spirit. When you are absorbed in the thought of how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, it is very easy to stay away from temptations. Therefore, such a devotee who is absorbed in Krishna and Krishna's mission, Krishna's service, for such a person it becomes very easy to say no to temptations, resist the temptations. Therefore, that's what we want to cultivate. We want to achieve that mood of all great devotees. We find Prabhupada himself talking about how he had sense control. Even Brahmaji talks about how his senses are always under control. Nabharati menga mrsho palakshate navai kuchin me manaso mrshagati. Name hrishikani patantya satpathe yanme hridaut kanthya vatadhrito hari. He says, because my mind, my words and my senses are engaged in remembrance of Krishna, thoughts of Krishna, speaking about Krishna, I am confident that my words never go wrong, my words never fail, my senses never get distracted, my mind never gets distracted. Because I am yanme hridaut kanthya vatadhrito hari. Because I am staunchly holding the lotus feet of Krishna in my heart. So that is the secret formula for achieving sense control, mind control. The more we are absorbed, to the degree we are absorbed in Krishna and Krishna's remembrance, to that degree we can overcome the dictations of the senses, the temptations caused by sense objects, and in this way continue on our progressive spiritual march. Hare Krishna, I'll stop here. Any comments or questions anyone has, you can take one or two. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.